ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। जस्ट डूइंग सम रीकैप फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ अदर्स हु हैव नॉट बीन जॉइनिंग इन टाइम। Stages of grief. The pain has various stages. Pain is called grief. So when you get the news of something that you have cancer now, one goes in shock. I have explained this in detail in the previous class. I'm just taking recap. Then there is denial, it is not me. Because I can't see them. That's the problem. Then there is denial that it's not me, it's somebody else. Then once you come over denial, then there is anger. See, because of this happened. Because of my mother, because of my doctor, because of my relatives, this happened. After that settles down, then you bargain. That please do some puja, go on internet, find out medicines, latest medicines, I am ready to spend money. So start bargaining. Then bargaining doesn't work. Then he gets depressed. He feels I want to die now. All the efforts are gone, erased, and God is not there, nobody is helping me, there is no treatment. And although there is 6 months life, I want to end it today only. That is depression. And then we work on depression, and then there is acceptance. And after acceptance, then you start preparing him for the inevitable. Okay. So the next slide was, who is the team which runs the hospice show? It is called as interdisciplinary team. It is always by default headed by the doctor. That is called palliative care physician. He is a leader. Then there is a palliative care nurse, who is a very important, plays important role. They cover 24/7. Then social worker is important ingredient of the team because he is raising funds, he is arranging for home help aid, some home help, some volunteers, some organizations. They mobilize for the patient's care who may be lonely, alone, without any funds. Then there is a spiritual counselor who gives a spiritual strength to the dying person. After acceptance, they prepare the patient, guide the patient, tell them what to do, how long, what will be done for you. Then family members play important role because the doctor, nurse, social worker may not be known to the patient, but family members are known. So under the guidance of doctor, nurse and social worker, social counselor, the family members also participate in the caring of the patient. And then comes the volunteers. Those who bring medicine from pharmacy, those who sweep your house, those who bring vegetables for you, they may do all menial things. Some people may come and make the hair of the patient also. Some people may make house making, like, you know, keep the flower pot, keep it new chadar, change the bed sheet, all those things. So this is essentially interdisciplinary team called IDT. The list can be unlimited. This can be physiotherapist, pharmacologist, musicians who come and play some guitar to please the patient, to make the patient comfortable. So all aromatherapy, Ayurveda, Panchakarma, acupuncturist, anybody who can help to create comfort is welcome. And essentially there are four people: doctor, nurse, social worker, spiritual counselor. In Western terminology it's called chaplain. The chaplain who guides you spiritually, you know, as per your faith, as per your liking, as per your liking of God. So this is the thing. With last time one lone lecture was on this. And also we discussed guidelines. What are the guidelines of palliative care on which we run the show? No one should live in pain. That means everyone has a right to be pain-free. And as we explained much earlier also, pains are of different types. Physical pain, psychological pain, emotional pain, financial pain, and spiritual pain also. Why me only? Is God there? Not there? Why is that so? Then so many kinds of pains are there. We can go on describing. But everybody has right to get free from all that pain at various levels. Social person can come and relieve your financial pain. He can provide funds from some trust. No one should live in fear. That is next guideline. Because there is a greatest fear of death in these people who are dying. What will happen? What will happen to me? Everybody is very scared. Or they may be, who will marry my daughter? Who will do the marriage, conduct the marriage? Who will arrange the finance? What bill is there now? All those kind of social fear is there. Emotional fear is there. And fear of God is there. Fear of death is there. What will happen to me next life? Where I'll go? Will I become cat or dog? Or go to hell? So all these fears need to be addressed. Because comfort means freedom from pain and freedom from fear. Then one more guideline is there. No one should die feeling alone. Most people who die, or when they come to a dying stage, they feel lonely. They feel that all those people who are so-called friends are left. So large crowd leaves you. And then even the close ones get frustrated or tired or exhausted financially, emotionally, physically. And they are also not very much interested in converting with the people who are dying. So essentially, even if there are 3-4 people close by working hard for you, you still may feel lonely. Everybody is waiting for me to die. Everybody is counting days, counting their balance in the bank. So there is a very frustrating feeling of feeling alone. Emotionally also, physically also, financially, you know, now nobody is helping me, so I am alone, nobody is contributing. But no one should die feeling alone. That means what? The hospice team has to get in to understand this thing, because we understand as hospice people. And because we understand, we should take care. The family people, the social workers, or the friends, they may not understand what is happening with the patient. But because we have studied, we understand, that's how we have to get in and see that, first of all, diagnose that, is he in pain, is he in fear, is he in lonely, and address that. Now, whatever it takes, psychologist, psychiatrist, spiritual care counselor, doctor, nurse, whoever needs to be there to handle this, has to be there. No one should die without spiritual care. That means at the end of the life, it is said in hospice, there are no atheists. This is a rule. However atheistic you are, and you may be in your own faith, you know, in Islam, in Christianity, Hinduism, you may be lifelong atheist, hardcore non-believer. But in front of death, nobody is atheist. Everybody wants to know now, कि कोई तुम्हारा अल्लाह, कोई कृष्णा, कोई राम, कोई जीसस है क्या? प्रार्थना करो मेरे लिए कि मेरा क्या होगा आगे. सडनली द स्पिरिचुअलिटी राइजेस, बिकॉज एवरीबडी स्पिरिट सोल ना, एवरीबडी आत्मा, लिविंग एंटिटी. सो एवरीबडी हैज दैट फाइनल फियर इज देयर, एंड एवरीबडी इज पार्ट ऑफ गॉड. सो फाइनली स्पिरिचुअलिटी कम्स इन पिक्चर. सो नो वन शुड डाई विदाउट स्पिरिचुअल केयर. वॉट एवर ट्रांजिशन टेक्स प्लेस फ्रॉम एथीइज्म टू लिटिल बिलीविंग, लिटिल theism, little understanding or little liking or inclination is there, that has to be nourished with love and care. Then everyone deserves to have the grief honored and comforted. See, what is the meaning of grief to be honored and comforted? That means, suppose somebody has hiccups in hospice. So every day morning you come on the round, aaj kaisa hai? Sir, hiccups hai. So tomorrow you come on the round, you give some medicine, you give Largactil, Clorpromazine, 25 milligrams. It's a medicine for hiccups. Again tomorrow you come, so how is the hiccup today? Sir, aaj bhi hiccup hai. So then what happens on the fifth day, the doctor, nurse, everybody gets bugged. Every time you're saying hiccups, hiccups, hiccups. So what we do in the course of time, we start dishonoring the symptom of the patient. We make him feel ki, bas re baba abhi, kitne baar bolega same thing. Every day you are crying on the same thing. My daughter nahi aayi, my daughter nahi aayi, my daughter nahi aayi. It's like every day he may express his emotional pain. My wife didn't come. My daughter didn't come to see me. my son didn't come to see me. Every day when you ask, how are you, he may tell the same thing to you. So then what happens? You start dishonoring. ठीक है बाबा, वो बहन का बात छोड़ दो, आप वो आप देख लो क्या करना है, मेरे को बताओ हिकअप कैसा है। बोले सर हिकअप तो वैसा ही है। सर फिर वही बात, अभी कितना दवा देने का आपको। मीनिंग व्हाट? इनडायरेक्टली वी डोंट रियलाइज बट वी आर डिसऑनरिंग द पेन ऑफ द पेशेंट। सो हॉस्पिस का एक इम्पॉर्टेंट प्रिंसिपल है, देयर हैज टू बी ऑनर। सो व्हाट एवर यू से, यू मे कीप क्राइंग होल डे बट यू हैव टू फील ऑनर दैट, सिंपथाइज विद इट, एम्पथाइज विद इट, अंडरस्टैंड इट, मेक द पेशेंट फील कि आई एम विद यू, डोंट वरी, I am not bored with your complaints and with your cranky nature. So then, the moment you show that I am there with you, I honor your discomfort, patient feels peaceful. कि कोई तो एक है जो सुनता है मेरी, रोज का मेरा मंत्र सुनता है। That's what we have to give them feeling. And generally in the curative hospital, when there is lot of patient, lot of operations, lot of schedules are there, you may not be so meticulous in feeling. What's happening to the patient? You may just say, hey, I'm a neurologist, what is neurological in this, address that, go home. Then a surgeon will come for reference for some wound is there. Okay, what is there? Left hand pe wound hai. Dress it, go away. But in this multiple super specialized references, what happens? The personal element is missing. So at least the in-charge doctor who is there and the nurses who are constantly there, they should address that personal aspect of the patient. Because ultimately it's a package. It's not a surgical wound here. It's not a neurological issue here. It's not a block in the coronary vessels here. He is a person who has all these multiple problems, plus social problems, plus emotional problems, plus financial problems, plus so many other issues are there. And that is together with the patient. When together the patient is feeling and going through all those pains. So most important, even though you are not going to be curative doctors in future, keep this in mind, you are not treating the disease, you are treating the diseased, the person inside, and he has multiple levels of situations which he has to deal with. Like he comes to you to typhoid and you are already cured him, typhoid is gone, fever is gone, viral negative, sab kuch ho gaya, but still the patient is crying. Then you ask, kya ho gaya abhi, is it theek ho gaya na? So she will say ki, my husband is divorcing me next week. It's a package. It's going to affect her treatment. Psychologically, immunity will be depressed because of the worry that she has got. Adrenaline, non-adrenaline, corticosteroids, all are going to flow in the body. Worry will be there. So, hospice mein kya karte hai? All levels of distress is addressed. Not only you have cancer, dying with cancer, okay, we'll address the cancer. Pain with cancer, that will address. Huh? The pain therapist has come. That's not our goal. We have to learn to see the patient as a whole, as a soul and as a whole. And the last item is dignity. I would like to repeat for the newcomers what is dignity issue in hospice. Suppose I am the director of the hospital, spiritual care. So many years I have enjoyed authority, enjoyed leadership, enjoyed people under me, following my instructions. I have a command in the hospital, I call up something immediately, vehicle comes, this happens, that happens, something happens, plumber comes. When I call immediately, electrician comes to solve my Wi-Fi issue. So I have enjoyed that kind of situation. But when I retire and I go home and I come back in the hospital again after 6 months, maybe nobody will even wish me also, possibly. So that's a dignity issue. I had a dignity of so-and-so, now I am Mr. No One. And that is even after 6 months of retirement. What to speak of, I am 80-year-old now. 20 years past retirement. Now I can't see properly, I can't hear properly, I can't walk properly, I can't eat properly, I don't have teeth in the mouth, I can't speak properly. So what has happened in the course of time? No one takes advice from me anymore. I am just like a person in the house. I am no more like head of the house. My wife used to ask me advice, my son used to ask me advice. Now they all are grown up, they don't need me. And I'm like somebody lying in the corner and I have no value only. Otherwise people would call me to give lectures, to address this festival, to address this occasion. I was chief guest here. I was giving gifts to employees when there were competitions and there were prizes. I was their chief guest to institute prizes. Now nothing is there. And imagine, at 80 I'm not dying. But suppose I'm 82, I'm dying. Then, further issue of dignity is, I am looked upon as a burden. 2 years say we are paying money for his chemotherapy. 2 years we are paying for hospital additions. 2 years various consultation. 2 years full-time servant at home. 2 years one more servant, top servant to bring medicines and this and that and that. And now I got a feeling, see, everybody in the family is waiting for me to die. They are also asking doctors, so doctor, how much time do you think he will live? And he is also overhearing, see, 3 months or maybe 1 month only, hardly any time is there. So they are calculating the finances and servant cost and bank balances, they have broken FDs. So all these dignity feelings come to the patient. He is a receiver, no? He is watching everything. He is not a fool. And although he is a not educated person, but emotionally everybody is alive. So they perceive, kya ho raha hai? So one of the biggest goal of hospice or palliative care is to respect the dignity of the person. To respect the dignity of a person. What is the meaning of that? That at all situations of life, the dignity has to be maintained. The patient should feel he is wanted. He is important. He is important. And that's why the volunteers in hospice, they also, I'm telling you, amazing to keep dignity of the person. In USA, I've seen, I'm praying that India should happen. There are volunteers who are rich people, but they are volunteers. And they are also retired kind of people, like 55, 58, 60, just young people, but not so old. And they have money, they have car. So what they will do? They will volunteer for 3 hours, 3 to 6 p.m. And what they will do? They'll come in their car. The schedule is fixed. Mr. Sunil Kamath, 65, 70 year old, patient of rectal cancer, dying in 6 months, appointed with her to take her out in garden. He's ambulatory, he's not bedridden or oxygen dependent. So he's taken by officially as a proper gate pass, everything is there, paperwork is done. That person will come. Also punch card. Not that she volunteers, will not punch card. She'll punch card at 3 p.m. She's only not taking salary, but she's committed to her 3 hour job description. Then she'll take the person to a nearby garden, stroll around nicely, you know, wheelchair also is folded and put inside, open the wheelchair, put the patient in the wheelchair, stroll, talk to him, entertain him, ask about your uncle, how you feel today, everything, then give him maybe banana with the permission of doctor or something, and then bring him back. And then next patient, go around. Such a beautiful thing. I also interviewed those ladies, you know, they are also old ladies. But they feel so much happy. Because we also have fear that when I'll become old, no one will come to see me. I'll be taken as burden. I'll be taken as unwanted person, waiting for death. So I want to make them feel happy. So that is what dignity is. Somehow you make them feel, yes sir, you are important. Although you are on deathbed, you are very important. Huh? This is a very sweet aspect of hospice. That was touched me. I give you only one example of one volunteer. There are so many volunteers who somebody brings vegetables regularly, somebody brings milk, somebody comes to make hair. Okay, auntie, how many plaits today? So she'll say, make 2 plaits today. Okay, auntie, what do you do today? Okay, make 1 today. Make only 1 plait today. Or some flower you can cut today. So all kinds of, you know, very personal thing which makes people feel that, sir, you are important. Sir, we love you. We like you very much. And we are with you. That feeling is there, no? That is dignity giving. So we'll change the slide now. We are coming to the point of 6 loving exchanges. Now this is very important subject matter in hospice. One time comes when the hospice patient is very close to death. For example, you know, 6 months is too long, but 1 month. We know that. 3 weeks. There is a science of palliative care which tells also you to how to judge the approximate period left in the patient's life. It's not like horoscopy or some tantric or some mystic power. It's just a medical logical understanding. Okay, now you may be having 1 month. And the doctor keeps communicating the rate of the family members that your father may now be only live for 1 week or whatever. So at that time, not on the day of death, that is called an active dying process. That is a different story altogether. when he starts dying actually. But I'm talking about he's very near death now. He may be in coma, he may be conscious, or he may be on oxygen, he may be on many things. He may be communicative or may not be communicative. At that time, he has, now he is, because it's like, for example, tomorrow you're going to America. So 1 week before also you're going to shopping, this, that, you're filling the bags, you bought the bag, you kept the bag home, you clean the bag, now you're putting clothes, now you're putting your books, now you're putting things. And now, 4 hours before going, you are in total anxiety. Now you're putting final thing, your passport, your tickets, everything you're putting, your money, also you're putting in a pocket, or some important things you're putting in a pocket. So there may be last minute anxiety. Is the flight on time? Is there any SMS from the airlines ki flight is delayed? Or who's going to come with me? How long? What's the traffic? Is raining outside? Is water there? How long will it take to go to airport? Last moment anxiety. And then whether the person is going to come on the airport in America to pick me up, I don't know where to go. So communicating with that. So last moment anxiety. Like that, the person who is about to leave. Now we have some unsolved questions. Okay, I wanted my daughter to get married, but I couldn't do it. So who will do it? Who will do it? Before I die, I want to really know whether people were waiting for me to die or they are going to miss me. हो सकता है ना? इतना बीमारी हो गया 15 साल से कि वो बोल रहे अभी कभी जाएगा, बस हो गया अभी, you can't just go ahead anymore. That feeling is there in him, or he feels that, oh, I'll miss my wife, I'll miss my daughter, I'll miss my child, I'll miss my little grandchild. So whether I will miss and whether they are going to miss me or not, both things are important. And if you feel nobody is going to miss me, so it's a very bad feeling. Very bad feeling. I did so much for so many people, whole life I slogged, sacrificing my so much of pleasure. And now nobody feels like going to miss me anymore. Then remembrance, whether they remember me or not. कि पापा ने मैंगो खिलाया था, हर सीजन में बेस्ट मैंगोज खिलाया था, हर सीजन में कहीं ना कहीं वेस्ट में घुमाने को लेके गए थे. And then there are issues which are to be taken care of in after I go. है ना? तो मैं जाऊंगा तो ये मेरी एक अपाइज बेटी है, उसको कौन देखेगा? तो मेरा एक डिस्प्यूटेड लैंड है उधर गांव में, उसको कौन सॉल्व करेगा? आई एम अनेबल टू इट नाउ. सो देयर आर सो मेनी थिंग्स. जस्ट इमेजिन अ स्टेज ऑफ माइंड, अ स्टेट ऑफ माइंड व्हेन अ पर्सन इज अबाउट टू लीव दिस वर्ल्ड. व्हाट ऑल थिंग्स आर देयर इन माइंड? एक तो आगे की एंग्जाइटी भी है कि आफ्टर डेथ वेयर आई विल गो. आई विल गो टू हेल बिकॉज ऑफ माई बैड एक्टिविटीज. आई विल गो टू हेवंस. आई विल गो टू गॉड. विल आई बी पनिश्ड इन सम अदर फॉर्म ऑफ एनिमल लाइफ और समथिंग लाइक दैट? आई डोंट नो. So that anxiety also is there. What's next for me? Where this set of people are not going to be there. I'm traveling alone. Nobody is going to accompany me there. What is the judgment? Lord of death will come and ask me what questions? I don't know. So, to elevate his all anxieties, these 6 loving exchanges are designed. Now, who does this exchanges? The dear and near ones will do that. And those you come to know in the course of time, in the patient is long time with you, those who come frequently, they do shifts with the patient, night shift, day shift. So you know, oh, she is a daughter, you know, he is a son, you know, she is a wife, you know, he is a husband, or he is a brother, or he is a close friend, and he is a doctor also, but he is a close friend. So there is a rule that loving exchanges have to be done by near and dear ones. May not be blood relations, but they should be dear and near ones. So what is the first thing? What is the procedure? Patient is lying on the bed. He may be unconscious, he may be conscious, he may be with gadgets, he may be free. Even if he is unconscious, not reciprocative to you, or he is conscious, the same thing have to be done. Like suppose she is a daughter, and she's coming. Papa, I love you. And I know you love me. Then Papa may say, yes, dear, I also love you. Or he may not be able to say only, because he may be in a ventilator with tracheostomy. Or he may be in very hoarse voice. Or he may not be able strength to talk also. But maybe with eyelids he will express to you that he is also responding. But you have to say, that person's name, for example, mummy, papa, brother, anna, akka, whatever languages are there. So you have to make it very personal. So you have to say, I love you and I know you, papa. You also love me. The second foremost important thing. Please forgive me for my mistakes, what I have done, wherever I have hurt you, whatever I have caused pain to you, the mistakes I have done. Please forgive me, papa. And I also forgive you because sometimes there is an issue, no? I as a father may feel that my daughter, when she was young, she always used to request, papa, play badminton with me. Papa, play badminton with me. And I always said, hey, what are you doing? I'm so busy. I'm so tired. What your badminton you're doing? Go and play with your friend, no? It's like a natural, spontaneous response. But then when you grow up, you realize, oh, it was her emotional need. And that time I was too busy in loans and these and jobs and all. And I failed to fulfill her simple desire of playing badminton with her in the evening. I could have played 5 minutes, but I was not in the mood. And now I repent. And because of father dignity, I am not able to say, sorry, Neha, I couldn't do that, play with you. So, proactively you have to say, papa, I also forgive you, whatever is there. Because you know, she may be angry with me. He may be angry with me. She wanted to go abroad, but I didn't pay money for abroad. I didn't have money. So I'm hesitant to ask forgiveness as a dying person. But you have to proactively say, papa, I forgive you. And you also please forgive me for whatever mistakes I've done. Second important, exchange. Third is to make people feel very dignified. Say, we will all remember you and miss you after you are gone. So he's given a feeling that I'm not a useless bum over here. So people are waiting to die over here. They feel for me. So papa will miss you when we are gone. We'll remember you. Then fourth one is, we'll take care of XYZ in your absence. That means we'll see that younger daughter is married. We'll see that your house is to be solved. Whatever he has, now that's all something called as advanced directives, which we discussed earlier. When the patient comes to you, you have to make the list of advanced directives. That means what the patient has desired in mind. Before dying, what all things you want to fulfill. What are the issues that are unsolved? You have to make a list. And whatever we can solve, we should solve. Whatever desires we can fulfill, we should fulfill. And then some things are unable. Like daughter ka wedding karne ka zimmedar liya hai maine, but abhi tak hua nahi. Hai na, not necessarily ki uske pehle sab kuch ho jayega. So you have to say, papa, I will take care of our younger Anu's daughter, Anu's wedding. So papa is assured ki baba, this fellow has taken the responsibility. And don't worry, I know you have anxiety of how to divide your property, everything. You have given the will. I will see that as per your desire, I will distribute the wealth to charitable organizations, to children, everything. And as per your will, I will see that, I will do that. So, jo main nahi kar saka marne ke pehle, aap karoge. Hai na? So, it's very important. We will take care of XYZ business in your absence. Next one is, same thing. We will execute your will, whatever you have put down. It's a similar thing, but there may be, everything may not be in the will. There may be some anxieties. Still, so to assure, ki main karunga isko. You have to just, what are we doing? We are releasing him from one anxiety. Freeing him before he is departing. I mean, kya kya leke jayega wo saath mein anxiety. Usko free karne ka. This anxiety gone, that anxiety gone. Okay, they'll miss me, they'll remember me, they love me, and I forgive them. So, I'll give you a story about forgiveness afterwards. Then you have to tell the person, papa, now you please leave peacefully. Don't worry about us. One more thing it should be there here. We will take care of ourselves after you go. Papa ko bhi anxiety hoti hai. Ki do bache, ek ladka, iski aaj patti nahi hai, uski aaj patti nahi hai, iska jhagda hai. Wo meri biwi aur meri bahu jhagadti rehti hai. Chalo kaise jiyenge, ab tak main tha sambhalne ke liye. So we have to assure him, papa, you don't worry, we'll take care of ourselves. We'll take care of ourselves. Assuring. And please leave peacefully. Now don't worry. And most of the times we say, God is waiting for you. He is waiting for you with broad arms, spread out arms to welcome you. So now you only think of Him. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Leave this behind. You are going to anyway leave this behind forcefully. But you leave, willfully you leave this thing. Instead of forcefully leaving, you leave it willfully. So look, now I have to give up this thing. I don't keep on holding till you leave. Leave it and go peacefully. So what are you doing? You are cutting Him off from the attachments of this world and encouraging Him to go forward. Because next journey is alone. So you have to encourage Him. Don't worry. You are not alone. Our prayers are with you. Our best wishes are with you. God is waiting for you. So don't worry. Go ahead. Please give up. Please live peacefully. Giving up attachment to this body and the world. The body that you are in and the world around you. Another story of forgiveness I'll tell you. There was one patient in hospice Vrindavan who had come in unconscious stage only. Okay. And he was quite stable in between before. And all relatives were, some of them came together because of father dying. Before that they were all dispersed. Somebody had become celibate, somebody had in village, somebody had gone to city to work and all. They were never meet. But because of father, they all gathered in Vrindavan. And they also felt, you know, after a long time they met, they were also exchanging and father at the center. And then time came that he was deteriorating and he was about to die. But then as per hospice science, we were wondering, why is not living still? So our hospice science has taught us, if there is something mental hitch in the mind, then we should not leave till that is satisfied. So then I went and talked to the family members, especially the celibate son who has become a celibate monk, and a married sister, and the married son and his wife. All of us met. And we asked, is there any issue in the family? Then they came up with that he had married another woman before. And we two are children of that Mataji. Our mother is in the village. So my father ditched her, divorced her or left her, whatever. And she is like not officially divorced or got some rights or anything. She just left, I don't like you, so I leave you. And I marry somebody else. There's no papers or anything. And then we two are children of this mother. So maybe he has some guilt in the mind that I did not do good with that Mataji. That wife, I did not do good. I shouldn't have done that. That time he did it with great courage and young. But now at the deathbed, he is having feeling in the mind that some guilt is there. So with this story, then I told, what you do is you call your mother, but the mother who is left by him. She's in the village, she's not in the hospice. The other current wife is there, with children also, grown-up children, everything. So she also knows he left her and married me. Everything is known to everybody. So I told the son of the divorced mother that you call your mother and tell her now Papa is leaving, now you please forgive him. Now don't keep in the heart anger and everything. I know you are angry and you express to me also many times, but leave it. Just now he is dying, so what all you know? Don't let him die with this guilt and you are sharp or whatever, you are bad omen or bad wishes or bad feelings. Let him go. So we had some time to maneuver this, explain everything. Kya ho raha hai yahan par, udhar kya ho raha hai. And then she also has some attachment. He is my husband. She is an Indian woman, she never left him in her mind. He left her, but she was always thinking he is my husband. So then she was prepared. Ki mummy kya bolna aapko phone pe. So mummy was told, you tell him, I know you left me and you married somebody else and you have children from her and I have my children and everything. But I forgive you. I don't have any grudge in my heart. I forgive you. You can go peacefully. So that phone call was arranged. It's a big event. Everybody is gathered around. And Papa is unconscious. But Papa is unconscious. But you should all know that unconscious means you can't respond only. But you can hear everything. The soul is not unconscious. Soul is conscious. You are not gone yet. You are still alive. The body is unresponsive because the nervous system is broken down. You are not conscious in that sense. But you are able to hear everything. what's happening. So phone call was made, the phone was put on his ear, and mother said, whatever she would call him, XYZ, he, I know, you left me and married somebody else, and I was angry with you, but now I'm not angry with you. I'm okay, I'm happy, I'm taken care of, I'm not having any revengeful attitude or any curseful mind for you. You please live peacefully, and I forgive you for whatever you've done. Believe me, in one day he left his body. That means that was the proof of our diagnosis. See, that was in his mind. And he was hesitating to leave. And he's unable to communicate also. Somehow we picked up that. And next day he left. So these kind of activities happen in hospice. Hospice is not meant for only pain management, and you give palliative radiation and palliative chemotherapy and palliative surgery and these medical things. Hospice is much, much deeper. I give you one example. There are many examples like this. There's always something hitch is there in the mind. Where in youth you felt very angry or something, but after the moment of death you are feeling differently. And you have to address and square one with the emotion that you have. So before leaving, everything has to be ironed out. You cannot die with so many negative feelings and grudges and unsolved difficulties in life and everything. So to conduct this session is a very, very intelligent thing. That means now one person will come and do all these things. The second person will come, will do all these things. Then third person will come, fourth person will come, and somebody is still coming from Baroda. So again, next day you have to arrange a session with her. Every time you have to orient, kya bolna hai. And most of the times when you are doing these exchanges, they are crying because it's not easy. Papa, you go peacefully. You love Papa so much. So you burst out, then you have to handle them also. Don't worry, keep saying. Whatever, you have to complete saying all these things, However emotional you are, shedding tears, but you have to see that you convey your father whatever is there in your mind. Sometimes father is there and mom, daughter is dying because of accident. The father is talking all these things. I beat you, I scolded you, I did this with you, that with you, I punished you, please forgive me. Daughter say, yes, yes. Or she may express also, I'm angry with you, but then she also settles down, we have to counsel her also. So all these things happen in this emotional thing. On paper, I've written only 6 loving exchanges. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so ratna hai, chale jana hai. Aisa nahi hai. It's a very intense event. Okay. Now we go to the next slide. Add life to their days. Do not add days to their life. This is very wonderful statement about hospice. What we do generally, a person is in coma, then put on ventilator, and sometimes people live on ventilator for months together. Months together. We have seen months together they live as a vegetable. And but they don't have guts to write a DNR. Do not resuscitate. They don't want to take decision ki bas abhi ho gaya, now we should separate. Let him also go and let him also be separate. Because in their mind, person is living so-called vegetably in the hospital. You have time, na? Some bill is coming, you have to go and see what's happening and cleaning going on, servant going on, you have to pay the servant and hospital and everything. Many things are there. So that is called as adding days in their life. But no quality is there. No exchange, no fun for him, no fun for you also. So what are we trying to do in hospice? वो आप लोग, आपको याद होगा वो पिक्चर था हमारे बचपन में, आनंद, राजेश खन्ना और अमिताभ बच्चन का. जिंदगी बड़ी होनी चाहिए, लंबी नहीं. मैंने वो कम से कम 10 बार देखा होगा पिक्चर. इट वॉज नॉट अ एंटरटेनमेंट मूवी, इट वॉज अ वेरी डीप मूवी. एंड व्हाट अनदर थिंग राजेश खन्ना सेड कि यू ऑल गाइज आर क्राइंग ऑल टाइम व्हेन यू कम एंड मीट मी. हाँ, एवरीबडी कम्स टू मीट मी and they cry because they know Anand is going to die in whatever number of months. But why don't you think that in the coming next 6 months, I'm going to live so many moments and I can be happy, I can enjoy all of you. Why I should bring my death after 6 months in today's life? Why should I bring the event of death, which is going to be after 6 months, why should I bring that event today and spoil my today's happiness? कितना डीप स्टेटमेंट है वो, जो मौत 6 महीने के बाद में आने वाली है, वो आज आज से मैं मुझे आप क्यों मार रहे हो? एवरी डे वाई शुड आई डाई डेथ इन योर आईज आई एम लिविंग माई डेथ, आपकी आंखों में रोज मैं मौत मर रहा हूँ, क्योंकि आप रो रहे हो मुझे मौत की याद दिला रहे हो कि मैं 6 महीने के बाद जाने वाला हूँ, और मुझे 6 महीने जीना है आनंद से, सबके साथ रिश्ता बनाते हुए प्रेम से हर पल मुझे जीना है, पर आप मुझे हर पल मौत मार रहे हो अपनी 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 आंखों के इमोशंस की वजह से. So that is the meaning of end life in days. He knows I am going to die. You know he is going to die. But both of you behave in such a way that life is very big. Let's live every moment. Let's live with purpose. Let's fulfill the purpose for whatever time we have got. Let us utilize the time that we have got in the best possible way. So that is the meaning of this end life. And life can be defined in many ways. Life can be defined as a pain-free condition, as an emotionally happy condition, as a satisfied condition, as a fulfilling condition, that I fulfill my goal, I did my job, I'm very happy, I'm not having regrets. So this period of diagnosis of death, that means it's going to happen, and the death, this period is very important, and that period should not be tears and sorrow and always crying. It shouldn't be. It should be a very happy event. Say, Papa, whatever time you've got, let us celebrate life. Try to always worry about things. Okay, we'll solve those things and we'll have some time where we don't talk about any negative things. We just enjoy life, being together. Memorable time we should have. Because those children never came together for so many years. Now in the name of Father, they all came together. So why not be together, you know, share our memories, childhood memories, what you did, what I did for you, what we went, where we went to move. Let us revive our memories. So many things are there which make you feel happy. Remember when you were 1 year old, you know, we had gone to this and you had cried and there you had vomited and I took him to this place and that place. So many sweet memories are there which we can share and make your life happy. Next slide is saying that palliative care is not about quantity, it's about quality. It's not how many, it's how much. It's all about what you do, quality point of view for the patient. Not how many months you took care of him, or what all you did in the sense of how many injections you gave, how many times this you did that, how many massages you gave him. It's not a mechanical event. It's mostly, most important thing about hospice is quality. You may die cured, but you may not die cured, but you can die healed. He may not be able to cure your disease and it will take you to death. But you should feel healed at the level of soul. And happily one should depart. That is why palliative care is low technology, high touch activity. Because there is no ventilator, there is no infusion pumps, there is no monitor, there is no hazard things in the ICU. There is no disease shocks, there is no intracardiac adrenaline injection, there is no CPR, there is nothing. Nothing happens in hospice. It's a way to go peacefully. It's not going to try to make him survive till last moment. No, it's like we know he's going to go. Let him go peacefully. So, high touch and low tech activity is hospice. Now we will tell you the hospice that we have made. You can see the picture here. It's called Bhaktivedanta Hospice in Vrindavan. It is ground plus 2. 40,000 square feet structure, and key line is a helping hand in the final journey. This is the building, Bhaktivedanta Hospice, and essentially the hospice is not like hospital, because the patient is going to stay for a long time. We don't have green curtains and we don't have, you know, all those typical things which are there in the hospital. Everything is colorful here. Now the bed sheet is white over here, so bed sheet can be colorful. The curtains can be very colorful, the sofa can be very colorful. It's like you have to feel very homely. You should not feel like hospital and, you know, I don't want to die here, I don't want to die here. Make you, and the space is also larger. It's not like how you have nursing homes, no? Special room, deluxe room, but it's like 80 square feet. There's table also there, there's a bed also there, there's also fan standing, monitor there. It's called deluxe room. There's no space to move around and there's deluxe room. But here you see the real deluxe room. One patient. You see the ambience is so beautiful, the color combinations, the exposure to sun, the arrangements of table, chair, bed, everything is there. Essentially, it is made probably for the patient and the close ones. Here the hospital mein kaisa hota hai, patient is inside, the relative waits outside. In deluxe room, only one is allowed. But in hospice, if you book a deluxe room, then as many as you want can stay in the room. But we want them to be together, interact, spend time together. So there's no restrictions. At the time of death, you can call 50 people also. Let all gather, pray, chant, give holy waters, you know, do all things, whatever ritualistic is there, express your heart, exchanges, everything can be done. That's the difference. In the hospital, somebody is dying, can't say, 50 guys are coming, let them go in the room. It will cause chaos. So this is the passage, the ambience. Then you can see then there is a ambience at the I will just show you. After this there is a next slide is of the garden. The passage again. Then this is the garden. That means every day the volunteers come and you know set them down on a wheelchair. And there's a walkway, you can see the walkway, you can walk, go through the, see the monkeys, see the birds, peacocks, have a nice stroll and come back. So the ambience is very important. If hospice has to be always in, hospice cannot be in the city, please remember this. Where there's noise, horns and traffic and fully crowded with concrete jungle around you, there can't be hospice. Hospice has to be in an area where it's very simple, natural, spacious, peaceful, no noise around, especially of honking and trains and aeroplanes and cars and all, trains and everything. Then we have a hospice at Bhaktivedanta Hospital here also. In the new building, there will be a special ward of 6 beds. But in the current building, there is no ward as such. Whenever the hospice people come, they are admitted in whatever choice of bed they have, and that becomes hospice bed. And we have a team here. We have a palliative care physician. We have a specialized palliative care nurse. Those who are trained for chemotherapies and other therapies, dressings which are very special, not like other dressings. So there is a special training of palliative care nursing. There is special training for MBBS doctors to become a palliative care physician. You can become a palliative care physician even after MBBS or after MD also. You can choose. I want to now go in this line and help people who are dying. I feel moved by that. So there are many people in the West, in India also, who have given up their routine curative practice and they have gone into palliative care practice, where they feel more of emotional exchange, more of happiness, more of satisfaction, more of real service at the time of need when you are going to die. Because at the time of dying, one is absolutely helpless from all points of view. He may be biggest person, biggest rich person, influential, powerful person, but in front of death, everybody is helpless. So many people get moved that, like myself, I stopped my curative practice after 20 years and I took over this thing. I got trained and I established hospice in Vrindavan. I look after that. I train people in that. Like there are many lectures I take of the subject, the difference of psyche. So it's very different kind of outlook. To help people, as the word exactly says, helping hand in final journey. To really make the people dignified, and the final thing is, death should not be a painful, unwanted, unpleasant event. Death can be turned into a happy event also. Like suppose I leave from here to America for good, for my job, whatever. Then it's a sad event that you are going to miss me, but also it's a happy event. Oh, he's going to America. So we also put garlands and embrace and everybody will miss you and I feel sad, I'll miss you. I'm also happy. So like that, suppose death is an event which you make people feel that you will meet God. You will meet your father. So it won't be a painful event. Why it is a painful event? Because all of us feel that I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know anything about where I'm going to go. So it's painful. One of the aims of hospice is to make people feel like festival. In the olden times in India, they would play band and they would dance and everything. Why? But this person has been released from the world. He is now going to meet God. He is going to go to heaven's kingdom of God. So they will celebrate. Also mourn, but celebrate. Like when our saintly person dies, what we do? We celebrate. But also we cry. Why we cry? Because we will miss him. Why we celebrate? Because he has attained his perfection of life. He has gone back to God. So this specific photograph you see, she is so happy. This is just 15 days before her death. She cut her cake on her deathbed only. So that's how we celebrate everybody's birthday, everybody's anniversary, everybody's every possible event we celebrate. Now see this photograph. Everybody please see the photograph. Huh? This person, lady, was having terminal disease and she wanted to see her son married. So somehow the hospice team mobilized the family so much that they got the son married, and in the married dula dulan ka dress, it was planned to bring them to hospital and they were let in the ICU. And you can see the emotion. The dying mother is so happy to see her daughter-in-law. The way she is touching her, where the eyes, where the son's eyes, where the daughter-in-law's eyes, you can see. And we have done so many events here and in Vrindavan. We have done engagements of the son and the would-be daughter-in-law on the fifth floor. We have moved the fowler's bed of a dying patient with oxygen and everything, brought them to fifth floor, and the engagement has been conducted in the presence of the dying father. So that was the desire. So Rajiv Ji said, "Come, come, engagement to karo mere samne." So all that hospital hosted. And we have done such amazing things over here. Why? The aim is only one. To make the dying person feel very happy. As far as possible, we fulfill all your desire. Whatever could be fulfilled, we can fulfill, we will fulfill. So I have got many pictures of this particular couple. Many other emotions are there, but I took one picture. Fulfilling the desire of the patient who is dying. So love, care and dignity is the purpose of hospice. Death is not a failure. But if you have not given care and to alleviate their mental, emotional pain, then definitely it's a failure. If you let somebody die with not alleviating his sufferings and fear and pain, then it is a failure. From whose side? Not from the person's side, but from the team's side. They have failed in making him peaceful and happy, to live very happily. So thank you very much. It's a very dear subject. Very emotional, and you have to be there to see when people go. What all things happen there. Amazing. Death is a very mystical science. And nobody still knows where one goes. But scriptures tell us that the ultimate purpose of death is to unite with God. For you and me, it may be painful to leave. But for a saintly person, it's a very happy event. He is waiting for the death because he knows, when I die, I will meet my Lord. And others who don't know, they are worried. So either it can be a festivity or it can be a most dreadly painful event. But we have an opportunity to make it very happy and divine event. And we have, last 20 years, we have seen we have been successful in making the events divine. Like our dietitian's father died here, Vaidehi Namathi, many years back. But the whole experience was so intense, and finally he died because we did all death care. I'll tell you the next subject is that, end of life care. It's a big presentation. We did all that to her, and then father died in the hospital only. And they all cried, and we had to console them and counsel them. That's another duty that we have. But after all that settlement, you know, 12 days, Kriya was done, everything was done. Vaidehi madam comes and tells me, "Sir, I also want to die like this in Bhaktivedanta Hospital." The way he was sent away from here, the way his departure took place, we don't think we could have managed that at home. So with the team of Bhaktivedanta palliative care, it was possible. And we could experience that ऐसे भी डिपार्चर हो सकता है. Somebody can go this way also very happily in dignified way. People chanting, praying, tulsi, all kinds of loving people around, loving exchanges, everything. Ideal departure. This is what she said. See, whenever I will die, sir, make sure that I also die in the same way. And I make sure that like you are there, make sure that you are there for me also. Many people have told me like this. Okay, sir, will you promise me that you will chant for me God's names when I am departing? Please promise me, sir. Many people have told me in this hospital, we want you to come and pray for us when we are dying. Prashobh Kodapulli is a person who is our hospice coordinator in this hospital. He was a caterer by profession. He was a chief chef in some big outlet. His father was in terminal disease and he was brought here. And about a couple of months he was here. He was every day coming and seeing what we are doing. Finally, I was there for his father's departure for about 2-3 hours next to him and, you know, motivating everybody to do prayers and put holy waters and every single thing what we did, he was witness of that. So he left the job and joined us in palliative care. He said, the way my father was, you know, allowed to go, so dignified, I want to allow all fathers to go like this. He left his career of being a chief chef in some outlet and today he is our palliative care coordinator. His administration also, he has learned all the science of palliative care also, he is doing that. You can meet him and ask him, how did he join the hospital? What of the experience that they got? It's amazing actually. So we are at 9:30 now. If anybody has any questions,